Emmy withdraws, leaving Dr. Schutzmacher, a middle-aged, well-dressed man with a friendly but propitiatory air, not quite sure of his reception. His combination of soft manners and responsive kindliness with a certain unseizable reserve and a familiar yet foreign chiseling of feature reveal the Jew. In this instance, the handsome, gentlemanly man, gone a little pigeon-breasted and stale after 30, as handsome young men often do, but still decidedly good-looking.
Do you remember me? Schutzmacher, University College School on Belsize Avenue. Looney Schutzmacher, you know.
What? Looney!
Ridgen shakes hands cordially.
Why, man, I thought you were dead long ago. Sit down. Where have you been these 30 years?
In general practice until a few months ago. I've retired.
Well done, Looney. I wish I could afford to retire. Was your practice in London?
No.
A fashionable coast practice, I suppose.
How could I afford to buy a fashionable practice? I haven't a rap. I set up in a manufacturing town in the Midlands in a little surgery at 10 shillings a week.
And made your fortune?
Well, I'm pretty comfortable. I have a place in Hertfordshire besides our flat in town. If you ever want a quiet Saturday to Monday, I'll take you down in my motor at an hour's notice.
Just rolling in money. I wish you rich GPs would teach me how to make some. What's the secret of it?
Oh, in my case, the secret was simple enough, although I suppose I should have gotten into trouble if it had attracted any notice. And I'm afraid you'll think it rather infradig, beneath our dignity.
Though I have an open mind, what was the secret?
Well, the secret was just two words.
Not consultation free, was it?
No, really.
Of course not. I was only joking.
My two words was simply cure guaranteed.
Cure guaranteed?
Guaranteed. After all, that's what everyone wants from a doctor, isn't it?
My dear Looney, it was an inspiration. Was it on the brass plate?
Oh, there was no brass plate. It was a shop window, red, you know, with black lettering. Dr. Leo Schutzmacher, LRCPMRCS. Advice and medicine sixpence. Cure guarantee.
And the guarantee proved sound 9 times out of 10, huh?
Oh, much oftener than that. You see, most people will get all right if they are careful and you give them a little sensible advice. And the medicine really did do them good. Parrish's chemical food, phosphates, you know. 1 tablespoon to a 12-ounce bottle of water. Nothing better, no matter what the case is.
Redpenny, make a note of Parrish's chemical food.
I take it myself, you know, when I feel run down. Goodbye. You don't mind my calling, do you? Just to congratulate you.
Delighted, my dear Looney. Come to lunch on Saturday next week. Bring your motor and take me down to Hertford.
I will. I shall be delighted. Thank you. Goodbye.
Schutzmacher goes out with Ridgen, who returns immediately.
Old Paddy Cullen was here before you were up to be the first to congratulate you.
Indeed. Who taught you to speak of Sir Patrick Cullen as Old Paddy Cullen, you young ruffian?
You never call him anything else.
Not now that I am Sir Colenso. Next thing you fellows will be calling me Old Collie Ridgen.
We do at St. Anne's.
Ugh! That's what makes the medical student the most disgusting figure in modern civilization. No veneration, no manners, no...
Emmy enters.
Sir Patrick Cullen.
Emmy retires, leaving Sir Patrick Cullen, who is more than 20 years older than Ridgen, not yet quite at the end of his tether, but near it, and resigned to it. His name, his plain, downright, sometimes rather arid common sense, his large build and stature, the absence of those odd moments of ceremonial servility by which an old English doctor sometimes shows you what the status of the profession was in England in his youth, and an occasional turn of speech, are Irish. But he has lived all his life in England and is thoroughly acclimatized. His manner to Ridgen, whom he likes, is whimsical and fatherly. To others, he is a little gruff and uninviting, apt to substitute more or less expressive grunts for articulate speech, and generally indisposed at his age to make much social effort. He shakes Ridgen's hand and beams at him cordially and jocularly.
Well, young chap,
Is your hat too small for you, eh?
Much too small. I owe it all to you.
Blarney, my boy. Thank you all the same.
Sir Patrick sits in one of the armchairs near the fireplace. Ridgeon sits on the couch.
I've come to talk to you a bit. Young man, get out.
Certainly, Sir Patrick.
Redpenny collects his papers and makes for the door.
Thank you. That's a good lad.
Redpenny vanishes.
They all put up with me, these young chaps, because I'm an old man. A real old man. Not like you. You're only beginning to give yourself the airs of age. Did you ever see a boy cultivating a mustache? Well, a middle-aged doctor cultivating a gray head is much the same sort of spectacle.
Good Lord, yes. I suppose so. And I thought that the days of my vanity were past. Tell me, at what age does a man leave off being a fool?
Remember the Frenchman who asked his grandmother at what age he'd get free from the temptations of love? The old woman said she didn't know. Well, I make you the same answer. But the world's growing very interesting to me now, Collie.
You keep up your interest in science, do you?
Lord, yes. Modern science is a wonderful thing. Look at your great discovery. Look at all the great discoveries. Where are they leading to? Why, right back to my poor dear old father's ideas and discoveries. He's been dead now over 40 years. Oh, it's very interesting.
Well, there's nothing like progress, is there?
Don't misunderstand me, my boy. I'm not belittling your discovery. Most discoveries are made regularly every 15 years, and it's fully 150 since yours was made last. That's something to be proud of. But your discovery's not new. It's only inoculation. My father practiced inoculation until it was made criminal in 1840. That broke the poor old man's heart, Collie. He died of it. And now it turns out that my father was right after all. You've brought us back to inoculation.
I know nothing about smallpox. My line is tuberculosis and typhoid and plague. But of course, the principle of all vaccines is the same.
Tuberculosis? You found out how to cure consumption, eh?
I believe so.
Ah, yes. It's very interesting. What is it the old cardinal says in Browning's play? I have known 24 leaders of revolt. Well, I've known over 30 men that found out how to cure consumption. Why do people go on dying of it, Collie? Devilment, I suppose? There was my father's old friend, George Coddington of Sutton Coldfield. He discovered the open-air cure in 1840. He was ruined and driven out of his practice for only opening the windows. And now we won't let a consumptive patient have as much as a roof over his head. Oh, it's very, very interesting to an old man.
You old cynic. You don't believe a bit in my discovery.
No, no, I don't go quite so far as that, Collie. But still, you remember Jane Marsh?
Jane Marsh? No.
You don't?
No.
You mean to tell me you don't remember the woman with the tuberculosis ulcer on her arm?
Oh, your washerwoman's daughter.